Now is the, we're going to come on record with the House Education Committee. It is now 9:10 on Wednesday, March 25th, and present are Representative Keller, Representative Wilson, Representative Edgemond, Representative Gardner, Representative Book, and myself, Chair Seaton. Since we are in committee, don't forget your cell phones, and today we're looking at House Bill 184, Debt Authorization for the University, and then we will discuss the post-secondary scholarship. So if, who is here to work on the, Representative Kelly's staff. Would you identify yourself for the record?
For the record, my name is Derek Miller, staff to represent.
And Derek, would you just point that down at you a little more? There you go. Right. Thanks.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. And before you again is House Bill 184, and I hope in your packet is included some information that is a follow-up from our previous meeting and addresses some of the concerns that some of the committee members had on receipt authority versus bonding authority of the university. And I believe Mr. Dosh, the controller of the University of Alaska, his email should be able to explain that the difference to you. All UA capital projects need receipt authority regardless of the source of funding or the amount of the funding. So as it pertains to this bill is completely separate from that. This is, if you will, a second layer. Once the capital project has been approved by you, the legislature, then the bonding, if there is a bonding portion of that capital project, that's where this statute comes into play. So that was one concern that the committee had, and I hope that email clears that up. In your packets also, I believe, is a zero fiscal note, which has been added. There was also a request for a letter of support from the university, which should be included in your packet now. And finally, I believe, Representative Wilson, you had some question on how students pay for college, how students pay for the University of Alaska. And I've submitted that question to the Associate Vice President of Student Services and Enrollment Management. So as soon as I hear back from them, I'll provide you with that information if there it is.
Representative Wilson. I actually got some of that information in my office yesterday, so I don't know where it came from.
Okay.
But maybe it was the university itself. I don't know.
Okay. I'll follow up with you.
Okay, thank you. Members see in their packet the letter from the university supporting this, and we also have the clarification that that the authority is still needed even with bonding and how that works. Does anyone have any question on that? I need any other explanation, Representative Book?
No, not on that.
Okay. Did we close committee public testimony? I'm not sure. Just to make sure, we'll open public testimony. Is there anyone to comment on House Bill 184? Anyone in the audience? Anyone online? Closing public testimony on 184. We're under committee discussion. Representative Book.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning, by the way.
Legislative Aide Miller, the only question I have is for you. As someone who would be encumbered and has been encumbered, and in our previous meeting last week, you discussed the fact that for 4 years, your tuition as a student went up 10%. This is an indebtedness that you're incurring on future students. Now that you're in this position, how do you feel about that?
Representative Book to the chair. I would like to say that my tenure on the board was very educational for me. I actually got to vote on that first year where tuition went up 10%. I voted against it, of course, being a student, but I did realize that the university still did provide quite a deal when you compare it with other undergraduate universities on the West Coast. So, and as Representative Kelly stated, the shift from state funding versus other sources of funding used to be 60% of funding that the university received was state general fund money, 40% was other funding. Well, that is reversed. It is now 40% state general fund money and 60% other funding. So I think that's a sign of diversifying their revenue streams, and that's a good thing. But as far as it pertains to your question, it's not necessarily a good feeling. It's the best way I can explain it.
Follow-up, Reverend Booth.
Right. What we're doing here, it wouldn't be 10%, it would be 25%. It's 2.5 times. So at any rate, this growing up sometimes sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, I really appreciate your service prior to this and your knowledge and also the fact that you were involved in the process before, and now you're on the other side, and we all see what some of these decisions make. And in the previous hour's discussion, these are the same exact kinds of things we're talking about, is future encumbrances. So I really appreciate that. I thank you, and I wish you the best of luck on this.
And Representative Book, I just want to point out that was one of the clarifications we got on this, was that this bonding authority is not independent of our granting receipt authority. So for every one of these projects, you have to vote on it as well as each one of us. So if when you vote for a project at the university, we are allowing them in many cases to utilize bonding authority. So is there any further comments on House Bill 184? Do I what's the committee's desire? Representative Keller?
Well, I move that we pass House Bill 184 out of committee with individual recommendations and attach zero fiscal note, and that's LS0699 alpha.
Are there any objections to moving the bill from committee? Seeing none, House Bill 184 will move from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. Thank you, Derek. And we are now ready to, let's take a brief at ease.
I just wanted to thank Diane for getting this. I got this yesterday and read through it, and it was very helpful for me. So I really appreciate it.
For those online, that that's being referred to as a needs-based low-income job training funding sources. A document was given to us by the by Diane Behrens at request. Thank you. We are looking today at trying to look at some of the different elements of a needs-based and merit-based scholarship program, and how to hybrid or how to go through a program which the committee would put forward. And so let me open it up to committee members first of all. So just so we review where we are, we've had several looks at, we had the Taylor Foundation had a program, we've had a bill that's come forward that looked at things one way, and what we ask Ms. Behrens to do for us was to present some kind of an outline of the elements and what are the components and what are the implementation issues of each one of those components. So if we put a requirement in a bill, what does that do? Who does that basically help? What kind of restrictions does that put on the program? And so that we can make the decision of whether those are elements we want to incorporate into a bill for scholarship program for Alaska. So that's just trying to get all of us back up to speed. Diane, would you like to add anything there?
Just very little. For the record, this is Diane Behrens, the Executive Director of the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education. And Mr. Chair, the first thing I would point out is that the implementation issues that are listed here are the ones that have occurred to me. I think if you were to circulate the document more broadly to folks in K-12, to our partner post-secondary institutions, there may be other issues that would arise. I think there are some very challenging aspects to developing and implementing particularly the merit component to any scholarship program. Needs is fairly easily defined, fairly easily ranked amongst a pool of applicants, but the merit piece is much more challenging. I think if there's some consensus that a GPA is not necessarily a standardized measure, if you will, because of the variance within a particular curriculum, even a curriculum that has the same naming protocols but may have different content, I think the assessment piece to get at those who are ready to go on and do college work or post-secondary training is really the piece that's hard to get to. And I think one just caveat I would have for the group is I am not an assessment expert. This is an entire area of expertise, and I think to really get unless the committee was just interested in adopting a readily available system that's out there, which I'm not sure is a good fix for Alaska, that's a challenging piece of developing such a program. So that would be my one comment.
Okay, I guess that on that comment, we're kind of stuck at a rock and a hard place. I mean, we either use a assessment tool that's available, or we don't use an assessment tool. Because we don't get to really take the research time and those kind of things to develop assessment tools. So I think that we've had the commissioner come in and say that the Department of Education has been going toward the assessment tool work keys as an assessment tool that they've been using. And we have GPA is available to us as well. So those and there may be more, and we'll get around the table and look at some of those next. But I think that since we've identified this as a decision piece for a merit-based scholarship, let's just take a little bit of time and go over that. And Representative Keller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Diane, I was just wondering if you can enlighten me a little bit. If this may have been covered and I you know spaced it, but the ACT, that's not primarily college, right? I mean, and what I'm saying is what it tests, as I understand it, is also used by vocational schools across the nation as a access entry level. So we could use that as my ultimate question also as a criteria for this.
Right? Through the chair, Representative Keller, the American College Testing Group actually has a array of testing tools that are used. When people use a common term, the ACT test, that is a college, that's an assessment of college readiness. And there are scores relative to the ACT test that are commonly accepted as denoting college ready. The work keys is another assessment tool that the American College Testing Group has developed and has deployed. They've also tailored programs to particular state objectives. So they are a service provider who develops assessment tools. The ACT test is the one that is used nationwide. There are test levels or score levels that are readily accepted as meaning college ready. The interesting thing is when you get some folks who are in the K-12 assessment side and you get folks on the collegiate testing side, they sometimes have different biases. that don't agree on the appropriateness of particular tools. So I think it would be possible to get those folks together and just agree on what could be used. Now, there may be disagreement on what the minimum score should be in order to mean college ready, because I think if you follow the literature, the expectations of K-12 of what kids should be able to do when they leave high school, and the expectations on college faculty on what students should be able to do when they enter college, that there is a gap in expectation. So you would just need to bear that in mind.
Thank you for that clarification. I needed it.
And on that point, we have the PSAT, preliminary SAT, and the SAT, and then the ACT. So I know you're not an assessment guru, but my understanding is the SAT test is what has been used.
The ACT and the SAT are comparable exams. They've just been adopted in some states by some colleges. Some colleges will require the SAT because it did have an essay component, and that's what they're looking for in terms of assessing college readiness. So those are comparable tools. I would say interchangeable between the ACT and the SAT. They're okay. Simply developed by different Keller? Providers.
As I understand it, and I'm asking this to Diane if you happen to know, but I think it's ACT currently, if I remember the numbers right, it's only Alaskans, only about 26%, I think, of our grads just take it, if I remember right. And SAT, I think we're right at 50 or somewhere in there, you know. But
I actually don't think we have good participation rates with either test, primarily because unless the child is looking to go to an institution outside, it's not required for entrance. At the University of Alaska Fairbanks, I understand, they strongly encourage students to take it, but they're not required to. Why would you?
And if I recall right, there wasn't a very good correlation between SAT score and actual performance or completion of the first year of college. I know that was a thing a while back, that there was a, you know, this was a score you were using for entrance, but, you know, then you had 40% dropouts in the first year or something, you know, in some of the colleges. So they were basing their entrance on that. So there's been some questions. We had a presentation earlier in the year on work keys and the work keys assessment, and are there questions among the committee? I mean, we need them to come in here and put it on the wall, I know, but I mean, I went back and reviewed, I couldn't remember, but I went back and reviewed my the overview we had on work keys and was going through that, and there were not only the different keys, but there were numerical scores attached to those keys to show your proficiency within those key classifications or key skill areas. And maybe Diane wants to jump
well,
in
no,
here.
No, I was just
going to
say what I've looked at with work keys is they actually have testing levels, and so you would test at level 6 in applied math or level 7 in applied math, and the competencies and the difficulty factor, if you will, goes up with each of those series of tests. So you can test discrete sets of skills.
Okay, Representative Gardner.
Would that be comparable to like an advanced placement test?
There, you, Representative Gardner, you really need to have an assessment person. I do not believe so, that it would be, because as I understand the AP sort of concept is that students learn in an interdisciplinary structure focused on a particular subject, but in an interdisciplinary mode. They have an instructor who has been taught the pedagogy appropriate for AP. So to say that the work keys is equivalent to AP testing is probably not accurate.
And I think that where we may be looking at is advanced placement, you assume that well, don't just assume, but people need to have a higher level of basic skills generally and to take some of the advanced placement courses. I mean, you have to qualify for that advanced placement. So, but in WorkKeys, there's a number of different levels under each one of those subjects of testing. So you would assume that somehow the school is making the assessment that somebody is ready and capable with the basic skills to do advanced placement. I believe.
I couldn't speak.
Okay, so okay. We let the commissioner go, unfortunately.
I'm getting a little confused because I know a lot of schools will take, if you have an AP class test and you score a certain level, you get college credit for it. So it's some kind of evaluation there in a specific area, chemistry, biology, whatever.
Representative Keller.
Thank you, Mr. Diane, would you recommend anybody that we could get as a committee to come in as an assessment expert to give us some kind of idea? If we were to do a committee bill, we'd have to have some kind of level of, you know, what the test is to, and what the appropriate cut score is. And so who would we look to for that?
Through the chair, Representative Keller, I suspect that there are, that expertise resides within the University of Alaska. I don't have a name for you off the top of my head, but between their expertise and the folks at the Department of Education, I think that they could provide, if not a single option, perhaps two or three options that could be alternatives.
And I guess we've got to look at, we do have an assessment person that's her entire job in the department. So I'm not sure if that was less or that is...
Eric, I think. It's Eric.
Eric now. Yeah. And so we could probably get them over here. I guess the one thing that we should realize is that the department has gone through and with regulation requiring work keys for grade 11 as an assessment tool for the coming year. So the department at least has moved through their structure and saying that they believe for Alaska work keys is the appropriate assessment tool for skill levels and has enough variability so that people can produce at, you know, at high levels depending on which level of tests they take, but it's graded so that you can know how, you know, where the people are proficient, you know, advanced, and I forget the number. I think there's 7 or 8 tests under each one of those work keys, and so you can see where you are. That was that we were going to use work keys in the other bill we'll talk on Friday. And if everybody has their work keys documents from the previous overview that we had
with
maybe, no, not with you, but on Friday, if you could bring them, then we can also get a little more detail on that. I don't want to take all the time on that, but what we need to do is have our staff, or you know, maybe some of us, take the tests and figure out if does that get us where we need to be, and how scared are we? And like Representative Wilson said, as long as we don't have to report our scores on the air.
Mr. Chair, if I just could, to that point, I know at the brief roundtable discussion that we had, there were some folks from the university who were listening and available. I don't know if they were included today, but there was some follow-up dialogue between, because I did share this matrix with them so they would know what the committee had before them, and they did have some folks weigh in on the assessment piece. So if
is there anybody online from the university? No.
I will get a name to Louie.
Would you?
Who probably should, someone who should be in the loop with the discussion.
Good. So now that's the assessment piece. Now we had under outcomes on the first page of this matrix increased college readiness.
I'm at the back of here.
No, it's on the second page. Midway down, where it says promote adult retraining we have work keys listed there, but we don't have it listed on increase college readiness. Were you thinking that we have the core prep curricula? Where would we have on college readiness as far as some way to tracking their assessment? Would that be an appropriate place to put in an assessment tool for
Mr. Chair, further down it says decrease remediation rates. My thought with the increased college readiness was just to increase the number of students who are actually taking the courses that will produce a higher number of college-ready students. But if we actually want them to be able to perform at the college level, it could appear in both boxes, okay. Essentially.
So that's where the assessment tool would need to be provided, mm-hmm. or no, assessment tool would need to be identified. So that's the potential that we need to look at, whether we're work keys or whatever. And is there pretty much agreement between the folks at the table that GPA from the various schools across the state is not a very good comparative tool for college readiness?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so I just wanted to make sure that we're looking at a different tool other than GPA as being the assessment tool, and I'm seeing agreement on that. So we're looking for another assessment tool other than GPA. Where do we want to go next? Does anybody have a particular item they want to hop into?
I have a
Representative Gardner.
It has to do with the, and maybe I should know this, and if so, I'm sure you'll be able to tell me, the work keys assessment is not necessarily focused for an academic assessment, but kind of real life skills and any number of workforce development. Does it compare, when it attempts to measure academic readiness, how does it compare to SAT or ACT, the widely accepted college readiness testing?
Through the chair, Representative Gardner, I don't believe you would find it widely accepted as a substitute for either ACT or SAT mm-hmm. testing.
Okay, thank you.
And Representative Gardner, since we're not requiring ACT or SAT for college in Alaska mm-hmm. entrance, so you know we're not going to be able to duplicate what happens outside, but I guess what we need to do is get from the university whether there are levels on work keys, and whether maybe we can get from the American College of Testing, because the work keys is used across in a lot of states, and to find out if they have any information on work keys
correlation
between success in college and performance levels on that. So
I'm sure they would have a representative who would be happy to speak with the committee.
Can we ask
Certainly.
You to?
I'll try to coordinate that.
Coordinate that with us and Louis, because I think that's, you know, we need to know whether this assessment tool is going to be good for college, and knowing that, okay, we can trust it better than the SATs, because my confidence in SATs is pretty low from the data that I've seen as far as looking at completion or a level on SAT and then success for 2 years in college. Yeah. Representative Keller.
Yeah, comparing apples to apples, that would be pretty important, you know, for a student that, you know, if he once you take this test and qualify and everything, to be able to take it to another institution. I was under the impression, I'm glad this we're going to arrange a representative from ACT, but I was under the impression that you could take the ACT test and score high with several in several areas, you know, and that they, I think they can customize the test, is what I'm saying, so that it covers both areas in same test, you know, if it isn't a feel-good type test, I've taken those kind, and when I get, when you get 55%, you know, you think, oh, I flunked, you know. But what it was doing was sorting out, you know, my skills compared to others that were taking the test, and it was great.
Right, and you know, it's interesting because testing, these tests may have completely changed from when, you know, I'm getting a little gray, so I haven't taken them for a while, but the SAT was more or less the general college entrance exam, and the ACT was specific skill levels on advanced, you know, basically placement in math or in certain areas, and so they may have totally changed in, over time. Guttenberg. Sorry. You have more hair than they.
But the beard now. So we're focusing on in-state tuition as compared with students going outside, which is great. And I imagine that there are the overachievers and the high achievers who get the high grades on everything, have places to go to get scholarships based upon those things, regardless of what we do here. Am I right?
Actually, if you're talking about the folks who are sort of your national merit scholar mm-hmm. level, certainly, but that's typically the top 3 to 5%.
Mm-hmm. So,
3 to 5%.
Right. So things like the Taylor Foundation and Taylor Stipe grants, which are basically merit based. You know, from my experience, one of the people that are most competent to understand what this is are parents of students that just got into college. The amount of research that they do on what they need to do to get these scholarships. And I know in my family that's been true, that the, you know, the perspective on the education that they had to do to go to school. So that might be a consideration for somebody to bring with their experiences where they go to get scholarships and the testing levels. Part of that dialogue.
Sorry, I got lost.
Okay.
I mean, I was focusing on something else. So the question you were asking about was on if we have a scholarship program, the making sure that Alaska students have access to.
Well, the overachievers always have some place
sure.
to go. And if we're talking about in-state university, then we really can focus on the university, and they can tell us what it is that they use to base their evaluations on.
Sure. Okay. Gotcha. Thanks. So anyway, is there anything else on, we were looking at decreased remediation rates, increased college readiness, those aspects, and maybe even promote adult retraining. Those were the three parts that we were talking about as far as an assessment tool for, quote, the merit portion of it. Sorry, I'm kind of wandering around in the woods
here.
No,
I think we all sort of are.
Get there. Yeah.
Well, I'm a little puzzled now by this decreased remediation rates. Is that the job of the university? That's not the job of the university. That's the job of K-12, and that's the gap that we've been talking about of what the expectations are. So I don't know how that's a discussion of post-secondary education in some respects.
Let me back up. What we were doing was trying to balance a program that would give a scholarship and would have some kind of a merit-based component to assure that we're giving scholarships to people that are going to be able to function in college.
Okay.
And so that we'll have better success, that we can expect people to stay in for a year and that they won't be immediately put into bonehead math, bonehead English, and those kind of things, which are very...
That's not PC.
which are very discouraging if you're going to college and you're paying all this money and now all of a sudden, so the component that we're looking at here is to try to say how do we design a scholarship program that'll get the most bang for the buck? And so if people know that they need to do this and this and this to get the scholarship, we can be pretty well sure that our money that we're going to be giving is going to actually be producing success. That's where we're coming, even if it wasn't politically correct. That
is that what they really call it?
Yeah, that's what it's always has been for ever since I... Yes, Representative Keller, I better get out of this before I get myself into more trouble.
Too late.
I'll see if I can get in trouble. Okay? On the decrease of the remediation rates, I was thinking back about the testimony from the Taylor plan. And remember they went into the school where virtually nobody was really thinking even about college. And he, remember Mr. Taylor offered money, and then they all rose to the... You know, raising the bar, it's a basic philosophical thing. You know, if the students catch on culturally that if they work hard, you know, their way's paid, that's the desire anyway of the whole merit-based approach.
And what we're trying to do here is get a tool that they can use as they're going along to make sure that they are doing it, not a grade in a classroom, which may be very different than another classroom, so that we can have... We can have something across the state that has levels and people can achieve up through there and know that, hey, you know, if you get above to this level or above, then you're going to be able to get a scholarship. That's the merit portion, but we're also looking at that as being the portion that says if we give them money, they're going to, they have a high probability of success. And so Representative Book and then Gardner.
If I might, Mr. Chairman, I'm wrapping my arms around this discussion about this bill. And so looking at the people in the room and at the, you know, testifying here, as our part of our obligation as Education Committee members, what we're asking the sponsor of this bill to do is to give us a means by which this bill can be successful, and that has to begin prior to people graduating from high school, and that's exactly what we're trying to incorporate, I believe.
That's correct, and okay. And just for clarity for everyone, I've talked to the sponsor of this legislation and other members of the community. You know, we've got this up here as a bill and a bill number so that we have a good title for the discussion, but what we're trying to do is put together something that would have broad support across, and we'll probably be introducing a committee bill if we can arrive at a consensus among the committee. So and the sponsor is in full agreement that, you know, that's the way we should go forward with this and would have the most chance of success if we can come to full agreement in the committee. So just for everybody's information, and of course the sponsor of this bill we've incorporated because he's vitally interested in this issue. Okay. Representative Gardner.
I forgot what I was
going to
say.
Oh, good.
Let's let go of it.
Does that, if the information comes back that WorkKeys will form that assessment tool and will give the students in high school the opportunity across this state to be competitive and to progress and can see their progression and can work for that, can we agree that WorkKeys and establishing levels in WorkKeys would be the merit-based portion of this, of what we would put together as a committee? I mean, and that's on the assumption that we're going to get the assessment folks to come in here and tell us that that would promote that and do that and work that way. And then, of course, we would have to have somebody or us establish what those levels are. But as the tool for merit-based section of a scholarship program, is that, can we all, I mean, are we all coming together around that? Representative Wilson, then Gardner.
I think for me to be able to say, yeah, I need to know a little bit more about it, you know.
Sure.
And then maybe I could make that decision, but right now I don't think I can make that decision.
And that was my caveat. You know, if, you know, since the department's put this forward as their new tool, and if we get information from the university that this makes sense. And of course, we've got to always remember that this is post-secondary, so this is establishing criteria for success for not only college but also for vocational programs. So it's establishing both of those things, and with the diversity of tools, I mean, this is we are again making an assumption that tool, we get responses that tool would work for that. What I want to do is make sure that we're all kind of in agreement that if we get that information, that would be the merit-based portion, whatever levels we, you know, the cutoffs are, but that's going to be the merit-based portion of a program. Representative Gardner.
I mean,
obviously, if it comes out and people tell us work keys won't work for vocational or won't work for college, you know, there's no relationship between high assessment on work keys and performance in college, then we're back to a different square.
Okay.
So with that caveat, I mean, if the department going forward with this new tool in the university think that this would work, I'm just trying to get their hands around so that we have at least something that we are. Yes.
I like where you're going with it, but I just want to have one caveat, which is one of the things that's been, I think, really wonderful about the University Scholars Program is that it's brought the idea and the possibility of really going to college to rural kids who might never have seen that as an option. And we've heard about some communities where one or two people have gone and been successful, and it's opened the doors for other people, and I think that's been one of the most wonderful impacts. And if we use something like this, even though those kids were not necessarily well prepared for college, just the fact that it became something they could aspire to has been a really, really good thing. So I hesitate to close that door, to move away from that. So,
and that's another question. Does the committee want to say to the university that we want the program that we're going here to replace the Alaska Scholars? That's not my intent.
Mm-hmm.
My intent is not to necessarily tell the university that they need to replace the Alaska Scholars program.
Okay, because it seems to me through the chair that for high-functioning schools or schools that aren't Title I or have a lot of at-risk kids, you would anticipate that the top 10%, those who would qualify for university scholars, are the same kids who would do well on work keys. I mean, if it's a fair evaluation or if the grades are a fair evaluation, there should be a very good correlation between those scores. But I just want to make sure that whatever we do, we don't eliminate opportunity for rural.
Representative Guttenberg.
Putting into legislation one test or another, I'm not sure that is the exact right thing to do. Theoretically, the testing organization could change their test, or the university can no longer use that test, or possibly setting out guidelines of what we expect from a test might be better than specifying a specific test, which might change or evolve into something that we're not looking for. So, you know, who does the criteria, what we're looking for in the criteria might be another way of looking at it. Might be giving her the info.
Diane?
By name, perhaps. that's actually an idea that I've been kicking around in my head. And the reason I didn't put it forward is I know that the membership tends to like to have concrete terms when they pass legislation. And so the idea that you would conceptually describe what the assessment would do, what it would what it would mean in terms of a student's ability. I mean, that's one way of going. You could certainly charge the commission with the responsibility for doing that in conjunction, I would suggest, with the Commissioner of Education. And the reason I suggest that is because even though this is a post-secondary scholarship, clearly the fundamental training for those who hope to be eligible comes from the K-12 system. So I think creating that connection between the Commissioner of Education and this program would be helpful. And you could certainly do that by charging the commission to identify the assessments and the relative performance levels that would mean college ready. And very shortly after the program was in place, you would see whether or not that was an appropriate assessment in terms of those students' ability to do college work. I would just say, however, your comment regarding the SAT score and its the correlation between that and continuing on past the freshman year, I would suggest for the population we're talking about, the wraparound programs that we offer to support their participation, particularly in that first year or two of college, are going to be critical. A test score really doesn't mean anything if a student enters college and has no familial support to do what needs to do to transition to that next phase in their life. So I got a little off track there, but there is no test score out there that's a magic bullet.
Representative Wilson.
I guess I kind of got the wrong impression when it was explained to us, because I thought it was a tool that the schools could use to try to get the kids to realize what they needed to do yet to go ahead and, I mean, if they wanted to be an attorney, then it would show them what they still had to do to get to that point. Or if they wanted to be a beautician, or maybe that wouldn't be, maybe that's not a good one. But I thought it was something more for in high school, and it might make a difference for the remedial stuff that has to be done at college level, because if they realized what they had to do in high school to meet the goals they had, you know, because it shows how much these people make in these different professions, and if they wanted to make a certain amount of money, then they're going to have to realize that they're going to have to go up a few steps in order to make that. So I
through the chair, Representative Wilson, I you're not mistaken. I think that is one feature of the Work Keys assessment tool, that it's used as a diagnostic to identify holes in that person's skill set. And I think they do try to kind of give it a real world setting by saying, here are the skills that translate into these occupations. But I don't think that it's limited to that utilization. I think that you can, because in some cases the work area might be accountancy. Well, clearly you need to be prepared for college because you're going to be required to have a college degree in order to become an accountant. So I think it is a graduated diagnostic tool that is used periodically through high school, but I don't think it's limited to just that use.
And I guess my problem with just saying we'll punt to somebody else to figure out an assessment. It could be, well, we'll use SAT scores, or well, we'll do this or that or the other. And I think that the whole impetus here is to have something that will migrate down through into middle school, and also that kids will be able to know where they're going and know what they need to perform on and can build and take the test that, you know, multiple times and know where they are, increasing their skill levels. And so I think that if we leave it as something that is intended to be possibly changed from year to year or over time without having some kind of permanency, all of a sudden there's not much of a way to prepare when you're talking about over a four or five year time span. So I guess that's where we'll juggle and we'll get some folks in here on work keys. That's a idea that I would like you to develop a little more with us, Diane, as to how, I mean, if we just said, give us, you know, make sure they're prepared for college. I mean, I think that's what we do, kind of the broad message we've sent to high school. Oh, they're supposed to be prepared for college, and we know where we, you know, whether we need a more specific. So, and of course, this is related right to the scholarship that we're going to say that we as a state want to do both needs and merit-based. And so, okay, we are 10 o'clock. Representative Booth?
I would like to remind, thank you, Mr. Chairman, the members of the committee that there's, as a diagnostic, as Director Behrens alluded to, is one mechanism we have. We're through the university, through Chancellor Ulmer, who is looking at pathways going backward from the university all the way to K. We have, you know, other things out there that are looking at means by which we're preparing. So, but getting back to the point of this discussion today is really about a means by which we can look at, if I'm correct, Mr. Chairman, a means by which we can assess.
And there's a question from the audience on testimony. We're really not looking at the bill. We're having a round table on that, and the bill was part of it. So we will be adjourned. It's 10:01.